All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, I got a lot of energy today.
Oh, man, me too.
I'm jacked up. Mm. You know why?
Mm. Why?
First of all, because I'm excited to be doing the show.
Yeah, of course.
But obviously. But also because I totally just ate an entire box of M&Ms. Your boy is hopped up.
That should be a prerequisite before every show.
Right.
Yeah. Do you have your M&Ms today?
Right. And when I say I just ate a box of M&Ms, I mean like I just ate a box of M&Ms. I want to say like I don't think it's exaggerating to say in two bites. Like half the box, munch, munch. Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Just knocking back.
Right. I'm a weak man, David. I'm a weak, weak man.
I don't know how you're around those snacks all the time. I don't know how you hold off.
I know. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I hold up pretty well. And it's just like I just have the mental set of like, it's just not even there. It's not even an option, blah, blah, blah.
Right. But today.
Not today, man.
Weakness struck.
Today was an option.
My man, this is exciting.
I feel like I'm a guest on your show today.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened this week is last week we said, typical Penn Cinema podcast, we're like, we're going to watch No Man Land this week, right? And then we proceeded to not watch Nomadland.
Now, let's just make sure we're really clear about this. Not through any, like, not that we didn't want to. We were both genuinely excited to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still am.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. I think I've heard really great things. I want to see the movie. It's just a scheduling thing, you know. It was sharing the theater with it was sharing the IMAX with something else. It didn't have as many shows as...
Right, you know, right. It was in the IMAX with Lord of the Rings,
right.
And it didn't unlock until Friday, and, you know, it was a really tight window, and sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that some other time, I'm sure.
Okay, yes.
So we got a surprise coming up. I'm not going to give it away. Instead of a review, we got a little fun thing we're going to do, and see how Penn reacts. It'll be
great. And I have no idea what he's talking about. Just for you, dear listener, I'm in the dark.
I did just spend the last half hour making it, like, doing it up. So we'll see how it goes. So, all right, let's just jump right into the news so we can get to the crazy stuff.
All right.
Okay. Are you familiar with the video game called Borderlands? And I know the answer is going to be yes. It's your favorite thing ever.
Right.
So
why did you ask the question,
I don't
David?
Know. It's for the audience.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 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 So anyway, Borderlands is a video game. They're making a movie of it. And Jack Black has signed on to be the character Claptrap, who is a robot who cracks the wise and makes jokes and kind of the mascot of the series. Yeah. I don't really know the series well. I know who Claptrap is because he's in all the commercials.
Right.
So, will this movie be good? I think earlier we reported that Jamie Lee Curtis is going to be in it. So it's getting some names behind it. I don't know what
the best
means.
Thing. The best thing about this movie is the fact that it's from Eli Roth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I hate to simplify it like that, but like otherwise, I think you could read the headline. You wrote the headline as this: Jack Black has joined the cast of Eli Roth's Borderlands as the wisecracking robot mascot of the franchise, Claptrap. I think you could have written it like this: Jack Black has joined the cast of Eli Roth's Borderlands as Jack Black. Like, and I'm not saying, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's going to do what he does.
Yeah.
100%. And I'll get psyched for the movie anyway, because Eli Roth, I don't, has he made a movie, a bad one? I don't know.
I don't know. Remember when he played Superman?
No.
Oh, that was Brandon Roth.
That was a stretch for that one, my friend. That was a stretch. Now, I also, since you mentioned Jack Black, just totally randomly.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know if this is an old meme, or it's not a meme, it's a video. I don't know if it's an old video or whatever, but I saw it today for the first time. Have you seen the video? It's a little funny 15, 20-second video clip of two videos running at the same time. And one is Hemsworth doing his workouts for Thor. And one is Jack Black doing the same workouts at the same time. And it is freaking hilarious. It is a riot. Because one of them looks like, you know, a total stud. And the other one looks like Jack Black.
Oh.
Right. And the other one is Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, I got to look that up.
Yeah, it's good. It's worth it. So, listen, speaking of studs, I want to tell you a funny story. So I answered the phone yesterday at work. I'm minding my own business. I'm in Ephrata. I answered the phone. Now, you got to understand, in Ephrata, we got a set of poster cases on the front end of the building where I have made some effort to keep the posters relatively current.
Okay.
I say relatively current. Like, for example, Little Women is still out there because we brought it back a few weeks ago. But it's basically current. You know, we got Mortal Kombat out there, and we got, I don't know what else. We got Tom and Jerry is out there. Black Widow's out there. But then in the back of the building, where nobody ever sees, there's 5 or 6 poster cases that still have posters from 2019. Okay?
Yeah.
So I answer the phone, and this guy, you know, he's like, what are your show times tonight? And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, what? You're not playing Bad Boys? And I'm like, Bad Boys? I burst out laughing. And I go, Bad Boys? We haven't played Bad Boys in like a year or more. I don't remember exactly when. And he goes, well, you got the poster out for it. And I said, we do? And the way it's laid out, I was in between movies, so I was sort of walking around the lobby anyway. So I walked out while I was on the phone with him, and I said to him, I'm looking at these posters. And I read to him exactly what posters we had. And he goes, boy, are you smoking something right now? And I said, no, I mean, that's a fair question, but I'm not smoking anything, you know. Anyway, we went back and forth a couple times, and we finally figured out – it was a very friendly conversation, but the guy had a weird way about him, right?
Yeah.
So we finally figured out that he had driven past the rear through the alley behind the building, and he had seen the Bad Boys poster left over from way back when we actually did play Bad Boys. Here's the funny part.
He's married. Funny part. Daughters.
Right. Both of them. Right.
Both of them.
Right. Dad. The funny part is, as he's wrapping up the conversation, he goes, all right, Stallion, thanks a lot. So I ask you this, David Moulton. I mean, you have a pretty great job.
Oh, man.
You got a great job that lots of people are envious of, but when was the last time you got called a stallion?
Not enough. I mean, it takes a lot of gumshoe to end a phone call with, all right, Stallion.
All right, Stallion. I was dying. I just said, all right, thanks. And then we hung up. And then I'm standing alone in the middle of the lobby with the phone in my hand, like just looking around because both audiences were in the theater. So I'm standing in the lobby all by myself, just like, did anybody hear that? So, yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I got another funny story I'll tell you later in the news.
All right. So, okay. Look, I don't want to hype you up too much, right?
I am already hyped.
I know, clearly. Joe Russo, he's hyping up the idea of a live-action Disney remake of Hercules.
You know who would be great in a live-action Disney remake of Hercules?
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
As Hercules.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So, and apparently he says the script will be done sometime next week, which means nothing. It means I can write a script. Oh, my script on The Matrix 16 is going to be done next week.
I'm going to finish it up next week.
Yeah, just, I mean, get hyped. Yeah, because that means it's a done deal.
So I wonder what this means, really. Like, I don't know. Is he, like, testing? The phrase would be testing the waters. Is he testing the waters? Is he, like, throwing this out there and wants to see, like... Like, obviously, he doesn't care what you and I think, right?
Oh, this was a press release just for the Penn Cinema podcast. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
This was a personal email to David. Is he, like, hoping or intending that, like, some big shot in Hollywood is going to, like, get wind of this rumor and reach out to him and be like, hey, that's really cool? Like, is he testing the waters? Is he, you know, taking the temperature and seeing what's what?
My guess is he has a meeting next week with the executive, and they know they're going to talk about Hercules, and he's just like, get the buzz going, because then when I walk in, I'll be like,
"Right,
look, all these people want to see live-action Hercules."
Right.
And then the exec will be like, well, I guess they do. Here we go.
The exec will be like, well, that's a great idea, but wait till you hear what they're doing with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Segway. Hey, Sonic the Hedgehog newsflash. They released the name of the sequel. Are you ready for this?
Wait a minute. Let me sit down.
Alright. It's called Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Whoa.
I know. And the 2 has tails, 2 tails on it. So I guess Tails is making... He's going to be in it. Miles. That's what they call him.
Pirate Captain Dave might correct me on this.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure, is Clerks the one where when they made Clerks 2, they had like the two capital I's and not the numeric 2, not the number 2? They had two capital I's and they said it was in homage to Godfather 2.
Oh.
You know how Godfather 2 has the two, like, Roman numeral 2?
Yeah, so does Back to the Future, right?
Right. But I'm pretty sure that Clerks 2 had the Roman numeral 2 as a tribute to Godfather 2. I might be wrong on that, but I think that... I think that the fact they're calling Sonic the Hedgehog 2, like, I'm kind of okay with that because of this. Let's not take ourselves just too seriously. Make it a movie about Sonic the Hedgehog. Let's just put a number 2 after it and sell it for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's the second one.
Right.
Right.
What else are you going to call it? You know what would be great? If I was like a hot shot in Hollywood, I would like to make a sequel but call it like Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Whoa!
Just to confuse people,
yeah.
You know, yeah. And everyone would be walking around. I didn't even know a second one came out, and I'd be like, ah.
"Got him!"
Imagine if you and me ran a studio.
Oh man, the movies would be the best.
That would be the ticket.
The titles, at least.
Right. The movies would suck.
Yeah.
But we have all kinds of fun.
Oh man. Hey, do you have any Spider-Man news?
I tell you what I have. I have a denial. I have non-news.
No.
I have non-news. So you're saying that Tobey Maguire and Andrew, what's-his-face, will be in the next Spider-Man movie? Tom Holland is saying, nah, brah. Nah. Tom Holland denies that Tobey and Andrew will be in the next Spider-Man movie. What do you make of this?
Now, riddle me this.
Riddle me this.
Right.
He uses the phrase, riddle me this, while we're talking about Spider-Man. He could have saved it for like a Batman, but not.
No, I'm using it now.
Okay. Got right. Your card, play it.
All right. Tom Holland is known for spoiling movies like horribly. Marvel movies and Spider-Man, like he's like said things he's not supposed to the point where like, I think it was Endgame. that Benedict Cumberbatch was like, it, like, had to like be there to censor him because he says things, and like it was a big joke about how, you know, he was there to cover his mouth. What do you think that this is? They're like, now Tommy boy, you better not spoil this movie. If we catch you spoiling this movie, you're done. And instead, he's like, all right, I'm not going to spoil the movie. I'm just going to go out and deny everything. And he, like, you know, he just out there denying things left and right because he can't spoil it if it's not true. What do you think?
Have you ever been lied to by a six-year-old?
Almost daily.
Right? Or like a four-year-old might be a better example. You like walk into the kitchen and they're just standing there, right?
And they're like, cookie jar.
No. There's no hand in the cookie jar because that would be too obvious. Instead, they're just like, I didn't eat all the cookies. Right? By denying, you had no idea what they were doing, what they were talking about. And you probably would have just kept walking through the kitchen.
Right.
But the fact that they were just standing there, right? and then they just blurted out, I wasn't eating cookies. I feel like that's Tom Holland. He's like, Toby and Andrew aren't in the next Spider-Man. Why would you say that?
Who said that? not me.
So I don't know. Now that you tell me that story about Tom Holland, I kind of feel like, what's the Shakespeare line? Me thinkest thou dost protest too much?
I think that's exactly how Shakespeare wrote it. Hey, you know what's also been written?
No.
The final days for Blue Sky Studio. So Disney, who acquired Fox, also acquired Blue Sky Studios. They were going to keep it going. They were going to have three production houses: Disney Animation, Pixar, Blue Sky Studios. Now, Disney says because of COVID and, you know, everything with the working at home and production slowing down and stuff, they're going to have to shut down Blue Sky Studios. You're probably like, what do these guys do? Well, they did Ice Age, right? They did Horton Hears a Who, the Peanuts, and last year's Spies in Disguise. So now Disney is going to retain the rights to these movie franchises. So they think they have a show for Ice Age coming out on Disney Plus or something. But anyway, all future products that were in production have shut down. And majority of the employees have been let go. So they didn't just like absorb them. They were like, how about no? Later. Peace.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. I hate to hear anything that involves somebody losing their job. I'm really sorry to hear that for the reason why I just said, but also, like, is it possible that could it make more sense? Like, does it make more sense to have everything sort of under one roof? Like, why do you want three animation studios under the Disney umbrella? Maybe Frodo would care to comment on this, and we can talk about it more next week. But,
yeah,
like, why do you need three different animation studios under one studio's umbrella? Maybe there's a good reason, but maybe there's value in everything coming under Disney Animation or everything coming under Pixar. Horton Hears a Who, I mean, that was just – I mean, Ice Age is great. I mean, these are all great. It's really frustrating and sad. I guess that's the simple word. Is that a studio like Blue Sky can make these really good movies that did really well. And then because of COVID and because of sort of the world that we're living in, like, now they're not going to make it. That's just tragic might be the better word. But I feel bad for everyone who's losing their jobs, and especially, well, I guess everyone involved would be the creatives, but the people who really sort of came up with these characters and products, and that's a shame.
Yeah. It is. It is. I think the lack of competition could, I don't know. It's funny because I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, they didn't really make the greatest movie. I mean, Ice Age was good, and I've heard good things about some of the others, but, you know, really, really, really great films or anything, I don't think they've really done much. And I was thinking, well, is it really going to be missed? And then I thought, I wonder if the really, really good ones only seem that way because we can compare them to the mediocre films. And if there's no competition, you're not getting that different subset of films. Is that going to bring down the quality of the perception of Disney films?
Hmm. I don't know.
Does that make any sense? Did I ramp?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I follow what you're saying, but I just sort of, I'm not sure that I buy that logic, because I feel like regardless of who they're operating under, a brilliant team that puts together something like, what did we just watch from Pixar? Inside Out. Yeah. If you put together a brilliant team that does something like Inside Out, there's going to be a team that wants to do Ice Age 4. You know, or Ice Age 5, like, and there's a place for that. And I think one studio can make high-end fare and also middle-of-the-road commercial fare. I don't see, maybe I'm putting my ignorance on display in terms of how studios work, but I don't see why one studio couldn't really nail a high-end, you know, top-shelf movie and also put out a middle-of-the-road, you know,
yeah,
paycheck movie.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, if Sandra Bullock can make, you know, Speed and also Gravity and also whatever else she won Oscars for, like, you know, I don't understand why that same approach can't work for studios. Some of your projects are going to be Oscar contenders that are going to go on to be iconic movies, and some of your projects are going to be paycheck projects.
Right. Speaking of projects that we don't know where they're going to go. The Wizard of Oz is to get a fresh retelling from Watchmen director Nicole Castle. Now, do you think this is going to be a dark, gritty retelling of The Wizard of Oz?
I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a pretty common sentiment, because, yeah. So on the face, if we're going to actually have the conversation, that's certainly the way it would look. I mean, based on what we know about Watchmen and sort of applying the artistic tone, but why are we messing with The Wizard of Oz?
I guess it's public domain now, so
yeah,
time to do it up, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So. All right. What news do you have for me?
Okay, I got a little bit of business news.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day weekend here at Penn Cinema. First of all, sometimes I nail it and sometimes I miss it.
Mm.
I thought for sure, and so this weekend I missed it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I thought for sure that Land, starring Robin Wright and directed by Robin Wright and looking a little bit like a romantic tragedy, maybe a romantic tragedy. I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. I thought with that opening on Valentine's Day weekend, that was easily going to be the number one movie.
Yeah.
It was not even close. Croods was the number one movie. Little Things was number two. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me back up. In Lititz at the IMAX.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings was the runaway number one movie. So Lord of the Rings and then Croods and then Little Things. And then I think maybe Land was like fourth or fifth. But so I started like looking around as what some other theaters do, because we haven't discussed this in a long time. But I know earlier on in the history of the podcast, we discussed one of the things that's interesting about the movie business is that all movie theaters report their grosses to a subscription service. And if you report your gross, you can also see everybody else's grosses, which is a really interesting way to see how a movie's doing and to see what different markets or, you know, different movies are doing better in different markets. And you can really learn a lot. And it's a valuable tool that I use frequently when I'm booking. Every single week I use it.
Yeah.
What's interesting is everywhere I looked, Land was way down.
Oh.
And so I think I could be wrong, and I'm not trying to cast judgment or shade or make a judgment here, but I think Land is going to be a flop, which surprises the hell out of me, because Robin Wright was all over the place promoting this movie, and I thought it looked like a contender, and it is just falling short on everywhere that I looked. It was in the middle or bottom. In Wilmington, wow. It was second from last.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting news. And then on a lighter note.
Okay.
I had my second great conversation of the weekend. So this guy comes walking in. This just happened like an hour ago.
Oh, boy.
So the guy comes walking in, and he gets one ticket to see Breakfast at Tiffany's. Okay, great. Good for you. If you're listening to the show and you're like, oh, I didn't know you were playing Breakfast at Tiffany's, it's going to play one more time on Tuesday in Ephrata, $5 Tuesdays. Come on out and see it. Okay, but that's not the point of the story. So the guy buys one ticket for Breakfast at Tiffany's, and then he gets a popcorn and a Coke. And while I'm getting the popcorn, he says to me, the last time I was here was on Valentine's Day last year. And I said, oh, that's nice. Well, we're glad to have you back and, you know, whatever. And then he says to me, you know, this is my little tradition. It's funny. Every Valentine's Day, I buy one ticket to see a movie by myself on Valentine's Day because, irony. And then he chuckles, and then he chuckles and walks away. Like, I feel like he came to the movie just so he could tell somebody that he has this tradition because he thinks it's ironic to go to the movie by yourself on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And he's got like a little bit of broken English to him, so he was a little bit like, because irony. And then he like and then like he was delivering the end of a set at a comedy show, you know, he like shrugged. The audience goes crazy, right? The audience goes crazy, screaming, laughing, and he exits stage left.
But I gotta ask you this.
Yeah, hit me.
Did anyone come in and say, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? And you were like, I think I remember the plot. Or no, just me.
as per usual, I think it's just you.
Oh man, irony.
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 Hey, and look. Then exit stage left.
Just a few more things here for you. Zawe Ashton, who I didn't know of, but she's been in some stuff.
Okay.
She's been cast as the lead villain in Captain Marvel 2, due out November 2022.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
It's going to be dope. Going to be dope. And so speculate, if you want to use the right word.
Speculate. Either way.
Either way. Do it and try and figure out who she's going to play. Let us know. podcast@pencinema.com. All right. Now,
this story I dig.
What if I was going to tell you I was going to take my face off?
I would tell you to call Nicolas Cage and get some pointers.
Right, right. Well, Adam Wingard apparently called Nicolas Cage because he's heading up a sequel to Face Off.
Do you mean like a reboot, a remake?
No, a sequel, because he said I would never reimagine the glorious movie that is Face Off. He said something along those lines, but he said it. It is a sequel to Face Off. Now, who knows what that means? Everyone's got their faces off.
Everyone.
Got their faces
on.
Everyone. I don't know. It's going to be like mind bending, like here, there. What? Who knows what's going on? So, cannot wait for that.
You know, Face Off is one of those movies that, like, I know. I know what it is. I'm not trying. Whatever. I know. But it's a great. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I definitely go watch a sequel.
I remember when it came out, I read the book for a book report.
Oh, my God.
Before seeing the movie.
Oh, my God.
And I remember they called my moms and they were like, oh, do you know that this book is from a rated R movie? And she was like, yeah, whatever.
Wait. I did not. Wait a minute. Back up. I did not know that there was a book involved.
Yeah. I don't know if the book was what it's based off of or if the book was made after, but there's a book.
But either way, you were reading it.
I read it. And the book was awesome. And then I saw the movie and I was like, still awesome, but it's not the book. Yeah. So speaking of things that are still awesome, do you remember Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Angela?
Do I remember it? Yeah. Do I remember it? I love that movie.
You live that movie. Oh, sorry.
Amy and I both love this movie. This is one of the rare. Amy doesn't like movies that have guns in them.
Oh.
Yeah, she doesn't like people getting shot. She doesn't like anything like that.
Suddenly, so, your girls make sense. You got one of each.
Right. Yeah. You said a mouthful there, David. Yeah, so, but Mr. and Mrs. Smith is one of the rare sort of action spy movies that Amy can get behind. So we have watched this movie a number of times. I love this movie. And what are you going to tell me? It's getting a sequel starring Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Donald Glover?
No.
Is that a sequel or a remake?
Not. It's, well, it depends on how you look at it.
You thought it was, but it's not.
It's getting a TV show.
Aw, boo.
Well, we're talking one of those, I don't think it's HBO, it might be Showtime or something. One of those more expensive television shows.
That's lame.
Starring Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Donald Glover, which could be awesome. I like both of those people.
Yeah,
but it's
lame.
Do you not like them? You don't like them. You heard it here on the Penn Cinema podcast. Penn Ketchum does not like Donald Glover or Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
It's lame.
Yeah.
You know what I think about that, David?
Oh, what do you think about that?
I think it's lame.
I never heard that from you before. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Lame.
Yeah.
There's no other way to look at it except lame.
Now, let's end the news with one last thing, because we're going to talk about this in the next section, and that's Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
So I am announcing here on the Penn Cinema podcast that I am fully committed. You thought I was going to announce that we're getting Snyder Cut at Penn Cinema. I'm not going to announce that. What I am going to announce is that I am fully committed to making every effort to get Snyder Cut at Penn Cinema. I've reached out to not only my guy, but also to my guy's boss, who's like four levels above him, who one time, I think I told you this story. He wanted me to say something nice about a guy who I worked with closely, who was retiring. You remember me talking about Bruce Blatt?
Yeah.
Bruce is the guy who's always yelling at me. I answer the phone and he's already yelling at me. So when Bruce retired, the main top number one boss at Warner Brothers asked me to say something about Bruce for his retirement party, which was happening in Las Vegas. So I thought to myself in private, I thought, well, this is really great. They're probably going to want me to come to the dinner. And then I thought to myself, they're probably going to want to fly me out there and like put me up. Because isn't that what they do with like big shots? Like, isn't that what you do? You're right. So I figured for sure they were going to fly me out to Vegas and put me up and have me come. Not only did none of that happen, I wasn't even invited to the dinner. Like, even if I like flew myself to Vegas or nothing, they just wanted like a comment.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I wrote, so that guy's pretty high up and he was very grateful. He's a nice guy, whatever. But I wrote him and said, like, hey, like, if you're doing 8 theaters across the country, like, you got to make it 9.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're doing New York, Austin, L.A., Dallas, Miami, you got to add Lititz to the end of that list.
Avi, that's the next
Chicago,
one.
Chicago, Lititz. So we've been getting a lot of questions about that on our Penn Cinema Facebook page, so I figured some of our listeners might be wondering the same thing. So that's the answer, is that right now we really have no idea if we're going to be able to, but if there's a chance that we can, I'm telling you that we will.
At 4 hours, will it be the longest film ever shown at Penn Cinema?
Yep. Yeah, like, yes.
Wow.
Not like by measuring minute, because we've had other really long movies that where we've like, oh, it's 6 minutes longer than the previous long. No. The 4 hours takes the cake.
Wow. So speaking of the Snyder Cut, it had a trailer today.
Yeah, let's get
today.
Into. We have 6 trailers this week.
Yeah.
All of which were good.
Yeah, actually, all of them were pretty solid.
Yeah,
really
six
solid.
Six for six this week. I definitely have a trailer of the week, one that stands above the others in my opinion, but I did like all of them. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Justice League Snyder Cut. The official trailer hyping up the HBO Max release came out. We don't like to talk about TV shows on this podcast. We're a movie podcast. But we're going to make an exception just because it's this freaking Snyder Cut.
Right. So, man, March 18th, I think it comes out, and it looks like a total different. It's almost unrecognizable, plot-wise.
You know what I want to do? I wanna go watch. I think I'm gonna go watch Justice League.
Oof. Do you want me to like prepare the family for your passing? Or? He thought he could do it one more time, and that's what did him in.
I only ever saw it once.
Too many.
Touche. All right. So what are you saying? I mean, what are you saying? Are you saying like it's almost unrecognizable and therefore it looks great? Or like what's the second half of that sentence?
I'm gonna reserve saying it looks great, and I'm gonna say it looks positively interesting.
Okay.
So okay. I won't have my heart broken again by the Justice League. All right.
Yeah, you will.
I can't open that. I'm gonna just little bit, but not. It can clamp shut any second now.
Well, you know? As George Bush once said, "Fool me once, shame on. Fool me a second again, you."
Wait, I'm sorry. Is that Shakespeare?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. My opinion on the Justice League Snyder Cut is one that will frustrate all the good loving fanboys out there, because I looked at it and I was like, okay, cool, looks like a fun movie. I couldn't tell what the differences were, and I've seen all the memes on Facebook that are comparing the different shots and the reactions, but to me it was like, okay, it's another Justice League movie.
Right. That's because you've got blackout PTSD and you can't remember Justice League. you blanket blackout the movie when it's so bad. Yeah.
So Amy and I drove somewhere where we had reason. I forget what we were doing, but I think anyway, it doesn't matter. I accompanied her up to Allentown, where she works at a college. Oh. She's a professor at Cedar Crest College up in Allentown. So on the drive up there, we listened to a podcast. You ever listen to Guy Razzi? I think that's his name, and he does the How We Built This podcast.
Okay.
And he interviews people who started great things. And in the pandemic, he's been also interviewing people who have like done creative things to survive the pandemic, you know, with regards to their businesses. And so on the write-up, we heard his podcast interview with M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah. And I think I've talked on this podcast before how much I love M. Night. And specifically, I think I talked about when I snuck into, back then it was called Show West. It's now known as CinemaCon, but snuck into Show West pretending that I was a theater owner, even though I had no theater and no money and no nothing. And I heard him give this incredibly inspiring presentation about believing in the magic of the movies. And I credit that experience with oftentimes giving me the conviction to stand by and pursue my dream of building a movie theater. Anyway, so M. Night is, you know, amazing. And I heard this interview about him filming this movie that we're about to talk about called Old. And they filmed the entire movie essentially in a bubble, similar to like what the NBA or the NFL has done. And, you know, he said every single person involved in the cast and the crew from the top to the bottom had to commit to staying in this hotel for 8 weeks. And they all had to have, you know, regular testing and all this kind of stuff. And this movie called Old, that's my trailer of the week. I think this trailer looks amazing. I think the film looks amazing. I'm dying to see this movie. It comes out this summer. It's called Old.
Yeah, I think it looks really interesting. You know, like people go to the beach and they age up really fast. Like really.
But not all of them, right?
Well, yeah, it's unclear. Like at least like the kids age into like adulthood, but the parents seem to be the same age. I don't.
That's exactly what's happening to me with my kids right now in Lititz.
Yeah. It's actually more of a Benjamin Button thing, because aren't you getting younger
as
your kids get older and more hip?
Yeah, way more hip.
Yeah. I heard you took up skateboarding last week, too.
Yeah. Totes.
Yeah.
Totes.
Totes my goats.
See how hip I am?
I think this is a great trailer. I'm excited. I haven't
your
been
trailer
excited
of the week?
For... No. Because the next one's my trailer of the week.
Because right,
I'm a fanboy.
Okay.
And that's for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which premieres March 19th.
So on
Disney Plus. Now, this is the thing that I'm getting at. See, when Justice League is going to break my heart, March 18th, but then the healing powers of Marvel will come upon me on March 19th and restore life to this dead husk of a man.
I'm afraid that we're at the point we've been at on this show a number of times where I need to ask you yet again, are you working yourself up to hate this movie so that the poor movie has no chance?
Is there any
possibility that you could watch the Snyder Cut and be like, oh yes, that was awesome? Or will you be so bound by your previous statements?
It's going to be one of those, like, you ever see someone who's like hurt by something and then they watch a movie that involves someone else getting hurt by that and it's like really good, but they're crying through it because they're like, yeah, I've been there, and like, this is what this movie is going to be like for me. I'm going to be like, it was good, but
all right. So your trailer of the week was Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I agree was a great trailer. That was almost my trailer of the week, except the old is way too interesting. Looks like a way more intriguing film. So Falcon and the Winter Soldier debuts on Disney Plus. You can watch it on TV at home. Is this a movie or a TV show?
It's a continue. So this is the second one of the series of shows that tie into the movies. I was having a discussion with someone this week, and WandaVision is amazing, and it's getting better and better, and it's clearly going to affect the movies. And it just brings on how much are people willing to commit to this next phase of movies having characters that are introduced from the show. So you need to go watch the show to understand what's going to happen in the next Doctor Strange movie or whatever.
Right.
How many people do you think are going to go see Doctor Strange and feel like, wait, what am I missing? Like, what?
Right.
And not have watched this.
Okay.
So anyway, that's interesting. So Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I'm super hyped for.
And it was a good trailer. It was exciting.
Interesting enough, there weren't a lot of commercials at the Super Bowl.
Right.
But the movie trailers, it's so expensive to do a commercial. We're just commercials advertising, go online and watch our trailer. That was weird. It was nothing big. Anyway, yep. Raya and the Last Dragon, the international trailer.
Raya.
Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you think?
You know how I know that?
What?
Because I'm playing the trailer in Ephrata. So I listen to the trailer every time a movie plays. So in a typical shift, I'm getting 8 versions of that trailer. And at one point in the trailer, she says, I'm Raya. You know, and so Raya and the Last Dragon, I'm excited. I think the trailer looks awesome. I think the movie looks awesome. And I'm cognizant of what Frodo wrote in a couple weeks ago about, the Eastern, what did she say, the Asian influence.
Yeah.
But I think the movie looks cool. I look forward to it. March 5th.
Yeah. Okay. Next movie we have is called Happily, starring Joel McHale and some other people.
You know what this movie reminded me of a little bit? The main house that it takes place in reminded me of Parasite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? It sort of had that same architecture. This was almost my note, but this was, I wasn't excited about this trailer because it's from Saban Films, which I think, you know, with all due respect, they're kind of a cheapy, like whatever. They're cranking out paycheck movies. This, to me, this looks like an interesting concept, right?
Yeah. Like, apparently, there's this couple, 15 years into their marriage, they're still deeply in love and can't get enough of each other. And the government comes in and says, like, hey, you're a glitch in the system. Like, we're going to give you these shots.
You're not supposed to be so happy.
Yeah. And we're going to give you these shots, and tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll be like a normal couple. And they kill the messenger. And so they're trying to figure out what to do, and then their friends are like, well, come on this couples retreat with us, which they go to, and then all the couples wind up being locked in the house. And it's like there's guns, and it's like, what's going on here? They can't leave the house. So it's interesting. There's a lot of things going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, this is one of those movies, like, I'm not expecting it to be a good movie per se, but I'll definitely watch it because I kind of want to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's got good, really good potential to be really interesting. Yeah. So I'm on board. And speaking of interesting movies, our last trailer of the week is called Jumbo, which apparently is about a girl. It looks like kind of an artsy movie, or at least what you would call like a concept movie, a highbrow.
Yeah.
It's about a girl who, and what is it, in Dutch or Italian or
French? No.
French. It's about a girl who falls in love with an amusement park ride. Is that essentially?
Yeah, the ride seems to be alive, or maybe it's not.
To her, but somehow there's somebody's also bleeding.
Well, it looks like it's oil. I think it was representing something else all over her.
Yeah, but there was also like a violent aspect to it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Anyway, this movie looks a little twisted, a little...
It had a lot of like positive reviews in it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be.
It's a movie to see, but not one to like. I don't think it's going to be like a blockbuster or anything.
Do you remember Swiss Army Man?
Yeah.
This reminds me of Swiss Army Man.
Yeah.
like really a little bit out there and odd, and I'll probably watch it.
Yeah. All right, well, that takes us into our special section.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
All right. So I've seen this in some other podcasts, and I thought this could be funny for us to do. What I've done is I've curated 12 one-star or less reviews of Disney Marvel movies, and I'm going to read them to you, and you need to tell me what movie it's from. Now, there's no repeats. There's no Marvel repeats.
Okay.
All right. And these are
I got a little pen out in case I need to give myself a note.
Okay. All right. And I can give you a little hint so you can ask questions, try and figure it out. All right. So these are all from the site Letterboxd. All right.
Okay.
This is half a star from Katie. This movie and entire series was an act of terrorism, I feel. What Marvel movie do you think that review was left on?
Oh, God. I don't know. The whole series is an act of terrorism. I don't know, but I like where her head's at.
What, any guesses?
No, I can't even give a guess.
Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So now you know what we're in for, all right?
Okay, now I know. And okay, good. All right.
All right. This is also, I think all of these are half stars. So this one's from Sequin. Superhero films are not my bag, but this was so boring. Seemed like the first hour of the film was someone going around knocking on doors to see if people were interested in getting together. Had to leave as I suddenly felt the urge to watch something more interesting, like the most boring party political broadcast message I could find.
I'm torn between Guardians of the Galaxy or Civil War.
You'd be close with Civil War, but it's the first Avengers.
The first Avengers. I was just going to say, I didn't say the first Avengers because I thought maybe we were already.
Well, there's no.
Used up.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one was Infinity War and the second one was the regular Avengers. The Avengers is like obvious, but I didn't say it because I thought we already used it up. But
yeah.
Now I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That was pretty good.
Okay.
Knocking on doors.
All right. This one's from Wonderhazer. If you like this movie, it is time to reevaluate what in the hell you're even watching movies for. Rainn Johnson somehow was able to completely ruin the most successful movie franchise of all time in 2 hours and 32 minutes. It's genuinely outstanding how big of a failure this movie is to generations of Star Wars lovers across the world. The pseudo-artistical attempts to please snobby critics and the fundamental manipulation of characters makes this movie the shit show it is. What do you think, Penn?
I mean, I'm tempted to say Knives Out.
All
The Last Jedi.
It's The Last Jedi. I snuck that one in there. You know, I said it was Disney Marvel, but it's Disney slash Marvel.
you can't get that by me.
Yeah, okay. All right. This one comes from Demonic. Only kind of watched it because my brother was watching it, but Benedict Cumberbatch is too ugly in the Marvel setting. Just made it worse.
Doctor Strange.
You got it. Only watched it because my brother was watching it.
Right. Yeah. I love it.
All right. Lizzie writes in.
Finally, a regular name.
Yeah, right? This is one of the worst superhero movies I've ever watched. Like, the acting and dialogue is beyond cringy. I understand loving this if you're no older than 13, but otherwise there is no excuse, laughing my ass off. I walked out of the theater within 24 hours and had forgotten the entire plot and characters of the film.
I'm going to either say Guardians or the Hulk.
You're off pace. It's not the Hulk. The Hulk was too easy. It didn't even come. None of these are the Hulk. I'll give you that much.
Okay. Ant-Man.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. Should have seen that.
Acting and dialogue is beyond cringe.
You're right.
All right, number six. And this might be my favorite one. It comes from Mr. Worldwide. I get this movie is in the past or whatever, but the lack of Pitbull songs in it is just appalling.
Captain Marvel?
Almost.
I give up.
Captain America, the first of
Captain
Avenger.
America.
I just love the lack of Pitbull songs in this is appalling. Right. All right, number
didn't,
seven.
Didn't Captain Marvel take place like in the 80s, the 1980s?
90s.
The 90s, okay.
So you weren't far off.
Yeah. All right.
All right, this is from Ada. Disney, you are fucking sick as fuck.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole review.
Yeah.
Hang on. Iron Man.
That's also for The Last Jedi. Got him.
You're like playing wiffle ball with the kid that makes up the rules, like as you're rounding third base. Oh no, if you touch third base, it doesn't count.
All right, number eight. At about halfway through this Marvel movie marathon, About halfway through this Marvel movie marathon I'm on, I would ironically compare this mission of mine and the suffering I've endured to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even I don't think I will ever be able to forgive Chris Pratt for his crimes, along with anyone who actually likes bare ad hoc exposition or this adorable PG-13 masculinity and humor.
I mean, Guardians, right?
Yeah. I just loved how he equated watching the Marvel movies as the suffering of Jesus Christ.
Right. I mean, I wonder what Shady Lady would have to say about that comment. I'm not sure she would agree. I'm not sure she would go there.
Right. That was from Jackson, but Brian M.K.
It wasn't from Shady Lady.
No, it wasn't from the Shady Lady.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. We haven't heard from Shady Lady in a long time. That's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah. Who knows what
she's still listening?
One would hope.
All right. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
This is another one. See if you can figure this one out.
All right.
The next time I take a shit, I will film it. Even though the quality will be shit and the subject will be shit, it will be better than this film.
Oh my god, I love it.
This one should be easy.
Thor?
No, it's The Last Jedi again.
Oh my god. You're such an ass.
Okay, that's the last Jedi one. I promise.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I promise.
From now on, I'm only guessing Last Jedi.
All right, number 10 is from Lowlady. Lowlady? Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Iron Man's really sad this time, guys.
Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Olivia Ryan, she says...
Can we just pause for a minute?
Yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised at... I know I have missed most of these.
The ones you're getting, you're like...
Right. Boom, boom. Right.
All right. Olivia Ryan says, this movie isn't about anything and nothing in it is real. And one of the main characters is a sexy Nazi.
Black Widow? No. Civil War? No. Oh. Doctor Strange? Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
You would think.
Right.
But it's from Thor Ragnarok.
I don't remember a sexy Nazi in Thor
Neither
Ragnarok.
Do I.
Okay, perfect.
But I really like how this movie isn't about anything and it's not real.
unlike the other Marvel movies?
Other Marvel movies. Yeah.
All right, Guardian Galaxy, that's a documentary. We all know that.
All right, number 12 and the last one.
Last Jedi.
It's not Last Jedi. It's from Jack Seifer. He says, this literally feels like the longest MCU movie. I'm sorry, this literally feels like the longest MCU movie. And Endgame exists.
So it's not Endgame.
Right, because that's the longest. But this feels like the longest movie.
Did we say Civil War? We already did Civil War.
Civil War,
It's not one of the early ones, because...
No, because it's long enough that...
Because it's after Endgame.
Well, it's not after Endgame, because that would only leave you one option, but...
Right. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Captain Marvel.
Oh, I was going to guess that one. Wait, how can you say anything bad about Captain Marvel?
Have you been on the internet? Like, I had to look hard to find one that wasn't about it being a woman. Like, people are stupid.
Yeah, that's funny. That's good stuff. I like that. I dig it. That was funny.
Okay, good. All right, there you go. So that's 12. That's a little segment there where we tried to guess the movies from the bad reviews. How did you do in the audience? Let us know. All right, listeners' notes and questions. You ready?
I don't know. Was this a week? I feel like maybe our listeners are like getting together without us. I feel like, are you guys like, do you have like a secret side like group where you get together and you're like, all right guys, here's what we're going to do. This week, everybody write in and bust on Penn. And then another week, they're like, all right, everybody write in and bust on David.
Now's the time.
Now's the time. And then one week, they're like, all right, radio silence. We'll show these bastards.
So last week, we heard from Chris Hall Productions.
Who we applauded because he listed himself as our number three fan. Which we thought was really like cute and funny. We thought he was being amusing, like the suckers that we are.
Yeah.
We thought he was just saying something funny.
Right.
To add to the show, because you know a lot of people write in, they're like, "Oh, I'm your number one fan." Blah blah. Yeah. But we thought he was being like clever and being like, "Oh, I'm the number three fan. What's up?"
Turns out, and I'll read this verbatim. I get a text message from this guy. Can you
this guy.
It?
That's this how guy. You know you're in trouble with us when we start referring to you as this guy.
Yeah. And he goes, he was mad. He says, you guys didn't ask who the top two fans of PCP are, so I'll tell you. It's you and Penn, because no one loves you guys more than you do.
Touche.
Touche. He got us. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Ay-ay-ay.
We also heard from Rain Man again. And look, I want to just come out and say, look, Rain Man, when I read your note off the show notes last week, Penn didn't tell me till afterwards he had changed your name to say Rain Man and not Raynor. Because he says my name is pronounced Raynor, but plenty of people call me Rain Man, but only David can. So, yeah. And then he went on to give us a big citation like with photos and everything of what he was talking about last week. But what I love is how he ended his email. And he said, my three favorite films ever, Night of the Hunter, Wages of Fear, and Alphaville. Seen them? No? You boys just enrolled in Rain Man University. We got some learning to do.
That's it, man. Get your books out. I feel like when I was growing up, a lot of people, my name is Penn Ketchum. And what? a lot of people made fun of my first name. You know, Penn, oh, where's Sill? Oh, he's Pencil. Or, you know, you're Pennsylvania. And they made fun of my last name, Ketchum. Oh, Ketchup, you got the mustard? Where's the mustard? Oh. And so, like, as an adult, it's kind of like whatever. Like, it doesn't happen quite as much as it did in middle school, but that's because we're all, like, adults. And so I feel like we need – the moniker Rain Man is not going to stick because, you know, I don't feel like that's respectful. I thought it was just being funny, but now that I see, I feel like there was a little wrinkle there that I didn't want to, we're just trying to have a good time here. We can do better. We can do something creative.
Yeah,
maybe the professor, you know, he just enrolled us in Rain Man University. He's the professor. He's the teacher.
Ray Bohr. Yeah, I like the professor, but mine are funny too.
David, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I know the answer, but I just want to force you to say it out loud on the show. Have you seen any of those three movies that he named?
No.
And I have a follow-up question.
Uh-huh. Have I heard of any of the three movies?
Have you heard of any? I have not seen any of them, and I haven't even heard of any of them.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a hard class.
I love it. I agree with you. I love the end of his email when he says, seen them? No. You boys just enrolled in Rain Man University. What's up?
What's up?
What's up? I love this guy. Oh, that's great. That's good stuff. So thanks for writing in. That's the highlight to the listeners' notes.
Yeah, yeah. It was certainly good. And we also heard from Frodo this week. She was telling us about some of the issues behind music and some of the going ons there. So.
Do you have those notes in front of you, or are we going to save them for next week?
No, I can get them. So I know that there's – I don't know a ton. I know that there's
– So this movie that we're talking about is called Music, and we watched the trailer a couple weeks ago, which we both found fascinating. And I'll just speak for myself and say I didn't really stop and think about – what the movie was about in the big picture of things. I just thought it was a cool looking concept and it kind of was an intriguing, you know, trailer. And then Frodo was nice enough to write in and sort of open our eyes a little bit in terms of some of the questions. Not that there's a problem with the movie, but just that it raises some interesting issues. And am I describing that correctly in the autistic community?
Yeah. There's, apparently, it's a bad representation of how to interact with autistic people. I know there was a big thing about how the character wasn't cast by an autistic actor or actress. And I think that there's something along the lines of a form of therapy that I think is called – I could totally be butchering this, but it's a type of therapy where they like hold them down instead of letting them like act out.
Yeah, that's no good.
Not them, but this person act out.
Right, right.
Like their issues or whatever they're going through. Restraining, I think is the type of restraint. And apparently Sia said she was cutting that from the film and that any future prints of it would have that scene taken out of the film because it was a bad representation, which is great. So there's definitely some stuff going on there with that movie. That's some social.
It's interesting though. You would think that if somebody was going to tackle that topic and make a movie like that, it would be somebody who knows enough. I worked in MHMR 15, 16 years ago and you know, restraints were, I don't want to say outlawed, but they were, you know, seriously restricted and frowned upon, you know, and that's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so you would think that nowadays there would be a even better awareness, and somebody who would be interested in making a movie about this would be hip to that and have their eyes open. But whatever. Okay, so that's interesting. So we'll talk more about that next week when we review the movie.
Like, I still want to see the movie. I'm definitely going to have my eyes open for the stuff. I usually do. I have people in my life with autism that makes me a little bit more sensitive to it. So, yeah, she also gave us something great, though. She said, did you guys hear they're making a movie about Einstein's theory of special relativity? I think it's about time. Frodo with the dad jokes every time.
It made my day. It made my day. So I got one for you guys, for David and Frodo.
Okay.
All right. Now, I don't know if you read about this in the newspaper. It made big news. This is a true story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a true story. It's not a dad joke. This is a true story.
Yeah.
There was a fortune teller, not a real tall, you know, not a real tall person. But anyway, this fortune teller got in a lot of trouble, and they were really hard to find because they were, you know, really tiny, right? And so this fortune teller got in trouble and tried to rob a bank and ended up getting locked up, but then escaped from the prison and nobody could find her. And so there was, you don't remember this? It was big news, the big headline that ran in the newspaper.
Oh, what was it? What did it say?
The headline said small, medium, at large.
Penn's doing a test. Oh, it's so good.
I could do that all night.
And I know I witnessed it happen. You can do it all night. All right, let's get into what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing, what's going on this week?
Well, a couple days of my week this week, I was on the road traveling for business, and then I told you I spent a day going up to Allentown with Amy, which was amazing. So excited. That was my first time on the campus at Cedar Crest, so it was really great to get up there and see that era.
Yeah.
Area. I rewatched Elizabeth, The Golden Age, which is such a great movie. Amy and I sort of took a nostalgic walk, and we've been working our way through the King of Queens series, which takes us way back. I mean, there was a time when I was having a conversation with Amy, and I couldn't remember what friend of ours had this problem going on in their life, and I was talking to her like, who was that? Who was it that had that issue, that problem? Remember? Oh, and then it turned out to be Doug Heffernan. And Amy was like, Penn, Doug is a fictional character.
Not actually our real life friend.
Right. He's not one of your friends. So anyway, so it's been a lot of fun to go through King of Queens again. But then also, I don't want to get too deep or whatever, but there's a series on Netflix called Headspace Guide to Meditation.
Okay.
I'm into it. I dig it. I mean, I've always been I've gone through periods where I regularly meditated. I haven't been doing it lately, but this show on Netflix is really interesting and really great. And if you're inclined whatsoever, I highly recommend it. It's really good. So it's called The Headspace Guide to Meditation, and it's on Netflix. Okay. So anyway, I've been on the road a lot, and of course we had a busy weekend in Ephrata with a lot of back-to-back birthday parties and stuff like that. So I haven't really gotten in any good watching. But oh, I also want to give a quick shout out. I forgot to tell you this. We had a birthday party here a number of weeks ago. And the guy wanted to rent the theater and privately watch his own movie. So I said, great. So that's what we did. And he watched Jackie Brown, Quentin Tarantino movie.
Oh,
Jackie
really?
Brown. Yeah. And I thought it was so cool because I was like, you know, people come in and want to see this, they want to see that. And you're always like, sure, I'll play whatever movie you want. But this kid came in, it was his 21st birthday party. Came in with his family, had a great time. They were super nice. We had a really fun night with them, and I thought it was really cool that this person wanted to see Jackie Brown on the big screen.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're having a lot of fun with birthday parties. It's really been a bright spot in a little bit of a gray period for the movie business.
That's sweet. Cool.
What are you watching?
Man, I didn't get into too much this week. I watched Bridgerton. Been going through that, which is great soap opera-y schlock, but it's so much fun.
Now, let me ask you about that. Yeah. Amy and I watched Bridgerton, too. When we watched it, we just sort of sat in our living room in our regular street clothes, like normal, regular people, and watched Bridgerton, and it was very nice, and we went about our business. Is that what you did?
No. We have outfits that we wear, and sometimes there's tea, and sometimes there's wine. It really depends. Whatever makes it more fun, you know? I mean, maybe I'm going to get an ascot for the next time.
I think you ought to. You know, I would be disappointed with anything less, right?
To go with the top hat, that's all I'm saying. So, is it the best time ever, or is it the greatest time ever? It's hard to tell. So I didn't really get too much into anything else, just the normal. I've been watching Stargate. I've been watching WandaVision, which you should get on. And that's kind of it this week. So cool. Well, next week we're going to be watching music, and we're actually going to be watching music, I hope. So there we go. It's going to be awesome. If you want to be a part of the show, give us comments about anything we said, want to give us dad jokes, want to give us your bad review, whatever. Podcast@penncinema.com. podcast@penncinema.com, in case you didn't hear me, is where you want to email us.
Podcast@penncinema.com.
Yeah, that's how you want to do it.
That's what the electronic mail address?
That is, yeah. If you are sending mail via the electronical internets.
So you write that on the outside of your envelope.
Yeah, stamp it.
Right.
With your wax seal.
Right.
With your ring. And yeah, that's the way it goes. Now, if you want to support the show, what's the number one way someone can do that, Pat?
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, what's been happening a lot lately, what we've been seeing, which is a lot of fun for me because I live near the airport, so I see it right away, is we're seeing a lot of people doing like a skywriting.
Yeah.
Right? You know, what they're doing, and it's a little awkward because it creates a little traffic jam down there on Airport Road, but what people are doing is they're going to the airport, renting one of those planes that you write in the sky with, and then they're flying around Lancaster County, writing in the sky, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but, I mean, that's what the cool kids are doing.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that.
Right, days. That's the most common thing that we've seen lately.
All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.